Good morning.
My name is Andy Burr, and I'm the interim pastor here. And in the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the First Congregational Church in Natick, I welcome you here, those that are in the sanctuary. It's nice to see that the numbers are building, and let's hope the same is true who are joining us online, worshiping online. A note for the production crew up there. If my cross goes across the microphone and is terrible, just wave at me and I'll do something about it. And again, to welcome you here, I'll remind you of the United Church of Christ tagline, for lack of a better phrase, adopted by this congregation, that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you're welcome here. I'd like to thank the production crew upstairs and Natick's Pegasus and all the worship leaders and the choir. We will be lighting the candle, the Christ candle, momentarily. So those of you at home are invited to go get a candle of your own so that you can light it and join us in that part of the service. We'll also be celebrating communion this morning. So again, those of you who are at home are invited to go get some bread and some wine or grape juice or bagel and some coffee, something, in order to join us as the body of Christ around the table of Jesus Christ. Prayer requests throughout the service, both at home and within the congregation, if you have a smartphone, can be mailed to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. They can also be texted to my cell phone here, and that number is 978-790-8250. And downstairs, following worship, there will be a post-worship fellowship, and in addition to what goes on in the vestry, will be something in the Achieve classroom that's connected via Zoom, and you can Zoom into that, and people weave in and out of that. Some upcoming events that I'd like to let everybody know about. The Guatemala Partnership Pharmathon fundraiser is on May 14th, and that will be raising funds for the citizens, the residents of Santa Maria Zeja, with whom we've had a long relationship. And all the work done at this pharmathon will raise pledges to support that ministry. And then the Family Promise Metro West Walk to End Homelessness is the next day, May 15th, Sunday after worship. There has been a church team formed, and so please reach out to Chris Gentry so you can join that team or pledge to support that team. And then perhaps the most exciting news is what Lane is going to share. I asked him to be perky, and he's not sure he can pull that off, but.
No, I don't do perky. But good news, after 2 years of waiting, we are beginning the process of finding a new settled pastor. Okay, so the transition team met for a couple hours last Sunday. The purpose of our gathering was to come together to, as a team, clarify our purpose and vision and confirm our roles, process, and our pace going forward. We hope to make good pace. The big questions we are aiming to answer during this process, and you can read ahead here, is who are we? Who is our neighbor? And what is God calling all of us to be? Not just the transition team, all of us. And we plan to focus on 5 points. Our history, our mission, our leadership, our connections, and our future. We're here to listen to you. We're all involved in this. So wisdom is going to be key for this team. Andy is our coach to the process and pastor to the people. And we are called to listen to this congregation, to Yin's guys, as we said in Pittsburgh. And develop the profile that will be used to call our next settled pastor. And we plan to keep you up to date with regular announcements from more perky members of the team. Thank you.
That was pretty good.
That was, you know, as perky as he gets. Jesus said in the Gospel of John that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And since, as I mentioned earlier, and as Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, that we together and with Christians around the world are the body of Christ in the world, that I am the light of the world, which means you all are the light of the world and are called to go forth from these doors and bring this light to people that you encounter every day. I don't mean using all Jesus talk, but just be the light of the world for others. And so we light this to remind us of that call to ministry.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Lord, save us from ourselves. We continue to do the same things over and over, expecting different results. Lord, save us from doing too much. We go fishing every day, not noticing you waiting with a meal on the beach. Lord, save us from doing too little. We say we love you, and yet so often we neglect your sheep. Lord, save us from ourselves.
Help us
hear and respond when you say, follow me. Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, the risen one is with us. Your ways are ways of justice. Your ways are ways of peace. Your ways are ways of love. In you, our hearts are full. In your ways, we will follow.
Respecting each other's choices and feelings and opinions about masking and about social distancing, why don't we take some time and greet one another, offering to each other the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace, Andy.
Peace to you, Janine. Sarah Lynn, do I say something here, or do you just gesticulate? You just gesticulate. You all know this. I don't need to tell you again. When we witness to the miracles that God continues to perform by the power of the Holy Spirit, we experience a deep sense of joy in our souls. Our offerings help us to listen to the risen Christ, who urges us to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. So let's join together as a congregation to faithfully feed people who are hungry and show kindness to those in need. There are plates at the doors to the sanctuary into which you can place your offering. The offering can be, you could send your offering by mail to the church or go to the church's website, firstchurchnatick.org. Since this Sunday is a communion Sunday, there will be an offering received for the communion fund, which is used to help people in need. There are envelopes in your bulletins. If you put your offering in that envelope and put it in the plates, that's how that can be made. So let's continue to worship God with our offering. Together. Jesus, Savior and Lord, we thank you for strengthening us in faith by feeding and nourishing us with your risen life. Bless these gifts which we offer in response to your sacrificial giving of yourself to us. Bless each of our lives as we respond to your challenge to follow you, sharing your love and life with others. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Jesus, after daybreak, he stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, and only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" he asked for a third time. Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Here ends the reading for today.
As you might imagine, as an interim pastor, I get to read a whole lot of church profiles. Now, honest to God, I can't think of even one, not even one, in which the composers of the profile haven't mentioned food is their church's best food of all churches throughout Christendom. In one of the very first paragraphs, and they believe it, "We're known as the church of the best church supper." Or, "At our church, food is love. And isn't love what it's really all about?" Or, "People come from miles around for our roast beef suppers and key lime pie." I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Every church raves about their own unique and all the world food as if they haven't been told that pride is a sin. This was not true when I read the First Church Natick's profile. Why, I had to get all the way to the bottom of page 4 before food was even mentioned, and then it was only in a very cursory way. It was in a list in which this church has fun. It stated, "We also have a great deal of fun, from our monthly lunch bunch gatherings to Holy Humor Sundays and progressive dinners." Now, honestly, that lack of food emphasis down to the bottom of page 4, it was one of the things that attracted me to this church. And embarrassingly, I think I shared this observation with the search committee, and thankfully they hired me anyway. Now, because of the food, because of their food, no doubt church members like to think that their congregation, is a place where Jesus would be comfortable, a place where Jesus might like to hang out. I'm feeling especially confident in that this morning because of our gospel lesson, which Janine just read. It was on the beach. It was the first church picnic when Jesus shares a meal with a handful of disciples. But Jesus didn't just sit on the beach picnicking on perch, chatting with the disciple about Mary Magdalene's unique world-famous biscuits with her one-of-a-kind homemade date jam that would follow the meal. Jesus, in the scripture that we just heard over a breakfast of broiled fish, reminded the disciples that they had a job to do. They weren't just fellow picnickers. They were co-workers called to bring the commonwealth of God into existence wherever they were invited. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to Simon the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, somewhat predictably, "Feed my sheep." So it would seem that food and feeding were very important to Jesus. Now, the case could be made that all these outstanding, love-filled, totally unique food things that these other churches do are more than simply, "Let's have a snack," but are one of the ways in which they bring the commonwealth of God into existence. Some congregations witness and share the gospel. Others by working for peace and justice, and others by writing legislation. Some by tending to the critical and lofty tenets of Christianity. And all of this is faithful and important work. Other congregations, thankfully, and you know who they are, some congregations work on the day-to-day stuff of life, feeding the hungry, showing hospitality, making space for the lost and lonely. Many times it comes down to a very simple question. A simple question like Jesus asked Simon Peter, son of John, three times. "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." Now, I'd like to say that these verses were echoing in my head during this anecdote, but really it was my own sense of helplessness that moved me into action. My dear Unitarian, that's important, she's Unitarian. My dear friend and Unitarian colleague, Susan, whose spouse, Ron, had broken his ankle when he fell down the stairs. They were in distress, and upon hearing the news, naturally, I immediately whipped up a meal, vegetarian, gluten-free, and organic, and delivered it unto them. And Ron was astounded and bewildered. "Why did they do this?" he asked Susan. "Because they're Christians, honey, and that's what they do." That's what they do. Now, it matters how we frame these food things that we do here, the lunch bunch gatherings, progressive dinners, Chef Bob's dinners, among other things. All of these food things are ways that we witness to the world. All of these food things are ways that the commonwealth of God is brought into existence. When we remember that putting a plate of munchkins and a dozen Capri Sun juice bags out on a table on Sunday morning, when we remember that it's not simply another chore, but a way to do what Jesus asked and witness to the risen Christ. Really? One colleague taught me years ago, preparation is the objective form of love. Preparation is the objective form of love. Isn't that cool? We pour out coffee and apple juice, not just to refresh and revive people after the service, but as a way to show them that they matter to us. And we want to celebrate their presence among us. A potluck supper isn't just a time to make an easy dish at scale. Rather, when we walk into the vestry and see the tables heavy with plates, that it's a patchwork quilt of food made with love. It says to others, "I made this Jell-O salad not just to show off my magnificent cooking skills and use up the grapes that have gone by, but because I thought about you and I made it and I want you to have it. I love you. You're important." Now listen to these words from the Reverend Sharon Blizzard. "When the world threatens to overwhelm, when I find myself engulfed in stress, or when I simply don't have words to speak my heart's confusion, there is one constant that can make life just a little bit better: comfort food. Yes, I can mind over matter my way to a healthy diet most of the time, but there is nothing like some homemade mac and cheese or a good and greasy grilled cheese sandwich or my mama's meatloaf and mashed potatoes to reduce anxiety and provide relief from stress. Of course, the relief is temporary, but it tastes so good going down. We humans hunger for comfort and security. The traditional comfort foods of our childhood both fill our bellies and hug our hearts. I suppose that may be one reason our faith communities specialize in plentiful potluck suppers. I can't remember ever going to a church potluck and not finding a plethora of taste sensations and calorie-laden goodness. Yes, faithful folk know how to fuel the body and make love the central ingredient of any dish. When we lack words, we bring food. When we wish to dispense comfort and care, it often comes in the form of casseroles and hot dishes, breads and brownies, all seasoned with the spirit of love and garnished with a sprig of hope. It's precisely this reality that makes the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus so appealing to me. Wherever there is food, you'll find God. Jesus breaks the bread after walking the Emmaus Road, and Jesus shares a shoreside fish broil with his still dazed and confused disciples. He shares fuel for the body and presence of God. Indeed, the fearful faithful were empowered and equipped for ministry and mission through word and meal on that Galilean beach long ago. And we know from our faith stories, from scripture and tradition, that they took the faith and ran with it. They spread it far and wide, boldly, and sometimes at great cost. Today, we're the recipients of that same faith and the spirit-filled results of those early meals with Jesus. So, she concludes, come share the meal. Come share the snacks. Come hungry. Come helpless. Come hopeful. Eat and share. Live to go and tell. We are the witnesses, whether bold or fearful. Let us be full and faithful in our going and our telling and our inviting. There is room for all and plenty of comfort food to go around. Thanks be to God. Amen. The new sound of communion, that crinkling foil opening those little cups. It was the Apostle Paul who, and I think it was Galatians, he was trying to break down the social barriers that exist. And he said, there's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer male or female. There's no longer slave or free. He was trying to break down those barriers and make everybody the same. If we fast forward to today, we might say there is no longer Protestant and Catholic. There's no longer Methodist and UCC. There's no longer believers and unbelievers. There is no longer straight or gay or trans or bi or all of those divisions, all of those classifications of the world are broken down because, as Paul says, we are one in Christ's body. So in the name of Jesus Christ and following those commands, I invite you to this table, the table of Jesus Christ. It's here that we remember that Jesus, in that upper room with his disciples, he took bread and broke it. And he offered it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he offered it to his disciples, and he said to them, "This is the cup of the new covenant, filled to overflowing with my love. Take and drink." And so now all things are ready. Oops, we need to pray first. Sorry about that. Let's join together in the prayer of consecration, which is printed in your bulletin and on the screens. We are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth, and this church community is scattered, we are one in Christ. Wherever you may be, we rest our hands lightly on to these elements as we ask for God's blessing upon them. Please hold your hands over your elements as we pray together. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people. Salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. And let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. Let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing. Take and eat. Take and drink. Let's pray together. Lead us by the hand, gracious God, from this table where the bread, the cup, and we, the guests, all received your Spirit, which was poured out upon us. Since we ate the bread, may its brokenness give us strength to stand up to persecutors of the most vulnerable, to challenge those who love themselves more than the frightened and lonely. Since we drank from the cup of life, fill us with courage to fill those who thirst for grace and hope, to tenderly care for those discarded by the world. Amen. And now, as we enter this time of prayer, please hold on your hearts those who are listed in the prayer list in the bulletin, the people of Russia and Ukraine, for Nan Wegraff, who recently moved from assisted living into a skilled nursing facility, and prayers for the Claussen family as they celebrate the life of Jeff's uncle, David Hayden, who recently passed away from cancer and whose memorial service is being held in South Carolina this afternoon. And from Doug Hanna, prayers of celebration for the transition team and of anticipation for what is yet to come. We're still praying for Patrick. Is there a brief update? Wow, thanks be to God. His last x-ray showed that he's continuing to heal and that he may be going back to work soon. Are there other?
I'd like you to hold my coworker's granddaughter Lillian in your prayers this week as she is undergoing a very extensive sinus and facial surgery due to some destruction from chemotherapy, and she's only 10. So if you could just keep her in your thoughts and prayers, it would be much appreciated.
We'll keep Lillian in our thoughts and prayers for healing as she undergoes surgery. Others? Joys, celebrations, concerns, prayer requests? Would you please join your hearts with mine in prayer? Jesus, I wonder, if when you said, feed my sheep, not one or two, but three times, it was because you were hard to hear, or if the disciples thought that they misheard you, or if you heard the murmurs of arguments, what if they, your sheep, are drunks, alcoholics, addicts, those without homes, or sinners, or demon-plagued, or diseased, or lame? Did you take a deep breath, Lord, and close your eyes and gather your patience and lower your voice to the teaching whisper and say, feed my sheep, again, with a little bit of frustration keeping in? And then did you finish with huge compassion and love, overwhelming the words so that the disciples could not help but feel overwhelmed with the call to action? Feed my sheep. God, may we hear the request, the call, the mandate today. This is our prayer. Amen. We pray as Jesus taught us. Our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Go. Share the meal. Go. Share the snacks. Share with the hungry. Share with the helpless. Share with the hopeful. Eat. Share. Live. Go and tell. We are the witnesses. Whether bold or fearful, let us be full and faithful in our going and telling and inviting. There's room for all and plenty of comfort food to go around. And as you leave this place to feed Jesus' lambs, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.